Well, good morning. We're going to call that Introduction to Radio Zine. You are tuned into KBOO Community Radio, and as Sonia just said, I'm Jenny Okuyama. And today we're going to be looking at two different issues about life here in the Rose City. In the second half of our show, guest host Dresden will be talking to couch surfing residents known as a demo house, and how it's living up to its name these days as it's, well, being demoed. But first, I'm joined live in studio with Sunny Blechinger and Kristen Shorey to talk about Portland's many neighborhood associations, their impacts over the decades, rumors of city councils, plans, and funding, and how Elizabeth Jones Art Center is trying to draw attention to neighborhood associations. Welcome to Sunny and Kristen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us this morning on Radio Zine. So, Kristen, what do neighborhood associations do?
Well, you know, the primary role of neighborhood associations is that we're the caretakers of our community. The number one thing that neighborhood associations deal with is land use issues. This is actually how Portland Neighborhood Association system began in 1966 with the urban renewal project that was happening in Lehrer Hill and also the Mount Hood freeway that neighbors rose up against. In my own neighborhood, Sylvan Highlands, and our next door neighborhood association, Arlington Heights, we get pulled into a lot of land use issues pertaining to Washington Park because that's our biggest neighbor. So since I've been involved in 2011, I've attended 18 strategic planning meetings about the implementation of the zoo bond. We fought hard to get a traffic study done before the parking meters were installed, a study we're still trying to get done. And both neighborhoods worked in the crafting of the 2018 Washington Park Master Plan. And as with all relationships, there's things that you disagree with, but we always try to act as a voice of reason, not just for us, but on behalf of all the citizens of Portland. In the creation of the Master Plan, we focused on the importance of a traffic study, starting with the backlog of maintenance and landscaping to ensure the health of our urban forest before any additional attractions were added. So we're hoping that that is what City Council is going to take our recommendations and just focus on the first half of the Washington Park Master Plan and kind of shelve the other two until the park's budget is in a more productive state to be able to add things. Both neighborhoods have had a seat on the Explore Washington Park Board, which allocates the parking meter revenue, so the free shuttle, the park rangers, and really promoting alternative methods of getting to the park. So both neighborhoods have also testified before City Council numerous times on these matters. Our current focus, however, is trying to get the full zoo train run back, and we're working with the Pacific Northwest chapter of the National Railway Historical Society and the Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation, and hoping to move that forward working with Metro. So this is just one example of how neighborhood associations work on behalf of all the citizens of the city, but there are similar things happening all over about different topics. The Pearl District, in my opinion, is on fire. They are just rocking it. They are such a great group of volunteers with so much energy. They have cleanup crews. They put in new garbage cans because the city couldn't afford it. They are doing a tremendous job on being prepared and having emergency preparedness meetings, and they have almost all of the towers organized. The list goes on. And the other one that's doing an amazing job is the Northwest District. They negotiated the use of clean diesel on construction sites, which, you know, is an amazing thing to happen in downtown because there's a lot of construction going on. So the gist is that neighborhood associations try to make their little corner of the world a little better and end up strengthening their community in the process. Plus, it feels good to make a positive difference.
Yeah, and can I just add, because I'm actually just started learning about all the neighborhood associations organizing an exhibition, which we'll get into later. But it was kind of a big news to me to hear that there's 92, I think?
95.
95. So every single little neighborhood, and depending how long you've lived here, you may or may not know them all. There's a lot. And every single neighborhood has its own association, and everyone that lives there is invited to come. Of course, attendance varies, especially depending what's going on in that particular time of the year.
Mm-hmm, correct.
But you touched on the Mount Hood Freeway, and I think that's a really beautiful story. And correct me if I get it wrong, but the way I've heard it is in the, maybe as early as the 50s, the city was proposing this huge freeway that would basically go along where Powell is right now. And it would have displaced something like 1,750 homes. And residents, of course, rose up and were like, this is not okay. And they made a lot of noise about it. And they were successful in getting the city to cancel that. And all the funds that were planned for that freeway ended up going to lay down the first leg of what is now the MAX line. And as I understand it, that kind of action and that kind of unity bringing neighbors together is what started these neighborhood associations. And then from there, they just blossomed all over the town.
That's true. Yeah, great.
95
story.
Groups. And something about neighborhood associations is that they're mainly run by volunteers. Am I correct in that?
100% by volunteers. There are coalition offices which are receiving a grant from the city, and there's 7 coalitions, and each one of those coalitions supports a group of neighborhood associations. But beyond that, they also support community groups as well. So the coalitions are a great resource. I'm actually the president of our local one, the Neighbors West Northwest. And they act as a fiscal sponsor for new nonprofits. They organize cleanup and recycling events. They host workshops and forums. They do guidance for negotiating through the city bureaucracy. So if you have a land use issue and you're like, gosh, who do I talk to? You know, it's kind of daunting when you look on the city page about, you know, how do I find out about where to do, what to do about this garbage that's accumulating outside, or, you know, all kinds of issues. They help you find the right place to go. And they also have a small grant program that they run for the city that is for helping local groups, which is really a fantastic thing. And they also act as our archive of our neighborhood association documents, so any voting records, or because we are a lot of us are nonprofits, so we need to have a place to store all that stuff.
Yeah, to be transparent.
Right? Mm-hmm, correct.
And it can be confusing because there's the 95 neighborhood associations, but then there's 7 umbrella groups.
7 coalitions, correct.
And they represent different amounts that they kind of stand, stand with. But do I understand it right that these coalitions, they don't do anything unless all the neighborhood associations in their area are on board?
Correct. Yeah. They work for us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's a great system. Mm-hmm.
So before people get to the coalition level, there's, getting back to neighborhood associations, I just wanted to ask real quick of who can join a neighborhood association? How does one get involved in that?
We love everyone to come. We have lots of things to do. And if you have something that you're passionate about that you want to see happen in your neighborhood, go to the meetings. You can find out who your neighborhood, where your neighborhood association meets and what the meeting dates are on the portlandoregon.gov/civic. That's the Office of Community and Civic Life website, and there's a list in there. You just you actually go onto Portland Maps and type in your address, and then it'll pop up about who your local is. But I think one thing that to always remember about neighborhood associations is you've got a lot of people that are passionate about where they live, their community, and so everyone's opinion matters, and sometimes people are passionate and things get heated. And so my advice would be to step back and always be respectful, especially in today's environment. We need to be civil with each other. And but it's fun.
It's messy democracy.
It is.
Get to know your neighbors a bit. We just have a few minutes left, and so I want to talk a little bit to Sunny about what's going on at the Elizabeth Jones Art Center. And they're doing some work about promoting neighborhood associations?
Yeah, basically every exhibition that we hold at the Art Center isn't only supposed to be aesthetically beautiful and touching in a certain way, but it should also, every artwork that goes on the wall needs to be somehow connected to a larger issue, whether it's a social justice issue or an environmental issue. So this particular exhibition was to draw attention to the neighborhood associations because they do so much good. And there was also a rumor spreading. It doesn't seem to be substantiated as far as I can tell, but we're keeping an eye on it, that city might have been defunding them or whatever. Regardless of that, it just seemed important to draw attention so that people know about these associations and that they can be part of it. And this is how you make your community more livable. So in any case, we put together a list of some of the more interesting or more memorable impacts that all the neighborhood associations have done over the decades. And then we're finding artists in every neighborhood and sending them out there to either paint the tree that was saved or the park that was saved or the homes that were saved. And we'll be opening that exhibition on July 2nd.
Neat.
So do you have examples of artists that are that will be featured?
Yeah. Oh, no, I didn't bring their names.
if people wanted to learn more about that, where could they go to learn about that?
So our website is elizabethjones.art. And if you just click on exhibitions, and then the name of the exhibition is Neighborhood Associations Rock. And we are still looking for artists. So if you are an artist anywhere in Portland, email us. Tell us where you live. Provide a link to your work. We have more than 30 stipends set aside to help cover the costs of the time that artists put in. And we'd love to hear from you.
Well, I've been talking to Sunny Blechinger and Kristen Shorey this morning about neighborhood associations. And we just have a couple minutes left, so just 30 seconds here. Kristen, is there anything that I didn't ask you that you want to people to know about neighborhood associations?
I just want to touch on the rumors that have about the funding, and because this is a tough one. We're in flux right now. I know that the Office of Community and Civic Life is trying to facilitate the broadening of participation of all Portlanders, and what this looks like and how it has yet to evolve, we'll see. But I'm confident that the strength of the work that the neighborhood associations do will ensure that we're all still going to be part of the course. And I think that the more voices that are at the table, the stronger and better community we're going to have because of it.
So again, if you're interested in learning more about your neighborhood association, you can go to portlandoregon.gov/civic. And Sunny, again, if people want to learn more about getting involved or visiting the exhibition, where can they go to learn more about that?
Well, they can visit our website, elizabethjones.org. And we set aside an entire Gmail just for it. So you can email us at neighborhoodassociationsrock@gmail.
All right. They rock.
I like that.
Okay, well, coming up next here on Radio Zine, host Dresden will be interviewing the couch surfing house known as the Demo House that is just met its fate to its name, its demolition. So here's Dresden.
All right, my name is Dresden, and joined with me today is my friend Michael. Today we're going to be talking about the Demo House, which is a former couch surfing home that is soon to be demolished. And we're here to talk about the legacy of that home and the soul of couch surfing. So welcome, Michael.
Yeah.
Cool. Our first question of the day, what is couch surfing for all of our listeners who don't know what it is?
Yeah, when you say couch surfing to different people, they all have different ideas. But couch surfing is a platform, a travel platform that I used in my past and many other people use. And it's a cool platform. Let's say you could go to Paris, you could stay at a hotel. Maybe you see the Louvre, the Eiffel Tower, eat a baguette. But at the end of the day, do you know what it's like to be a Parisian? So through couch surfing, you actually get to stay at locals' home, and you get to see the hidden gems of the city where they where Parisians hang out, where they actually eat. So it's a cool perspective. You make new friends, get a different insight, and the crazy thing is this is all for free, which is like, whoa, that's mind-blowing.
Yeah. So you found a group of other couch surfers to create a couch surfing home with, and so each of you were interested in exactly what you're talking about and the potential of meeting someone new and really showing them the existing culture in the area. Let's paint the picture for people that haven't been to the demo. Yeah. When they're walking in, what are they seeing? What's the atmosphere they're picking up? And what are they most aware of?
Yeah, when they come in, they open the door. It's like vibrant colors just like pouncing at you because there's just art everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Left by the guests.
Yeah, left by the guests, left by our friends, family, who are anyone who entered in the house. I think that's something to be expected. We only have one bathroom, so that was the caveat of the house. And like sometimes there's like already 5 housemates, and sometimes we would host up to like 10 travelers. Yeah. So there's like 15 people in the house with one bathroom, but that never was a big issue.
Okay. It's like an involuntary test of self-discipline.
I guess, yeah. I didn't even think about it that way. But we had like 7 couches. So it looks, I don't know, like it feels like a free hostel, like the hostel vibe of no money attached. Mm-hmm. But I think what they're to expect is like a place that is unlike others, is like a place that is welcoming. We embrace differences. Like I think a lot of people, one of my housemates, Daniel, said like, there's more scared people than scary people.
Yeah.
And in this house, we want to embrace the strange and strangers.
Yeah.
And I love there's this quote in our house. It's like, mm-hmm. your best friend was a stranger once.
Yeah.
So I think it's really cool. Like, we get to make intimate connections right away. Like, we don't have to do the facade. Like, hey, so where did you travel? Like, I feel like just travelers, we ask the same questions over and over. Like, so where did you travel? What's your favorite place? But I think there's something deeper about our house. Like, we go for the meat of it. Like, we make memories at the moment. We don't talk about past memories.
Speaking of memories that you made in the moment,
yeah.
What are some of your fonder memories in the demo house?
Yeah, there's so many great memories. Like, sometimes I forget, just it's just, like, memories overload, but one is definitely Diane's wedding. So one of my housemates, Diane, she left for her trip, then she came back, and then Demo House actually proposed to her. He wrote on his walls, like, Diane, will you marry me? And of course she said yes, and then, like, a few months later, they had a legit wedding. We had a real minister who happened to be my couch surfing host in Charleston, which is, like, a crazy backstory, but then her parents actually flew in from California.
They flew in to give their blessings to Diane marrying the home.
Yes, yeah, and it's crazy. And then her in-laws came, or, like, she had family in Oregon, like, and they came to the wedding, too. Like, they're just, like, these older couple, and they were, like, here for the wedding. And then we invited random people, like, you're more than welcome to come. So, like, strangers came to her wedding, and just, like, friends. So that was a beautiful experience.
Now that we've talked about memorable experiences, do you feel that couch surfing and the demo house, what did it give you? What did hosting the demo provide?
Yeah, like, I think I just genuinely enjoy people, and I think I love learning their stories and their struggles. I think human people are good. I think a lot of people there's a lot to be complaining about people do bad stuff, but then you got to realize people are so cool. Like, they do all these amazing things. So I don't know, for me, it's just like, I love connecting with people. But Demo House, like, I didn't expect to be in, like, in a position where I would be hosting so much and then eventually, like, having to manage. But there were problems with the house. I'm not saying it's a perfect place. There were, like, electrical problems or heating problem or washer problem. Or, like,
what's
rats.
Funny is when you said, like, there were problems with the house, my thought immediately jumped to, like, oh, was there drama in the house? And then when you said, like, oh, it was just all, like, functional qualities of the house, it was, like, a reassurance that, like, oh, wow, people could just come together as a community and not have problems with each other.
Oh, yeah, I never felt unsafe. Like, we leave our door back. Like, our doors unlocked. I never got anything stolen. No one got hurt. Yeah, so, like, we got lucky and honest level. I never had drama with anyone. Like, I love all my housemates that pay rent. There's a joke, because one housemate, he did stuff in the house, and he wasn't the right fit, so he left without paying rent.
Oh,
like,
man.
But other than that, like, I love, like, even he's a cool guy, but he just didn't pay rent. But, like, I just love everyone who went through the house. But I think just what did I get from hosting or just Demo House? I think hosting wise, you get to meet new people, expand your ideas, expand your perspective, get a challenge. People come in and you might have a misconception about them, and they're ready to challenge it without saying anything, but, like, oh, like, you just don't expect it. And I love when mm-hmm. I like I try not to judge, but, like, sometimes, like, you make these thoughts about someone already, and they're there, like, they just prove you wrong, which is really cool. I think they share the culture, share your food. I got so many cooked meals by people, and they're, like, from their home country, which is really nice. I think it's, like, I get to travel through them, because I don't miss travel, but I love hearing their stories, or just, like, hearing where they came from, so that's really invigorating.
I love the model that you're able to exchange stories and not have to exchange money. I know that Airbnb as a platform is uh-huh. quite similar to Couchsurfing,
yeah.
where they have their residences open to travelers as well, but for a fee. Mm-hmm. Couchsurfing is completely a free, like, stayover kind of app. Why is that a significant difference to Airbnb's model of like not charging?
Yeah, I think at one point we were considering like, should we, like we was like, oh, maybe we could charge people like $10 a night for a couch or something like to help pay the bills. But I don't know, I was against it just because when you put money on a transaction, people always think like, are they nice because they want the money or are they nice because XYZ? But when you take out money out of the equation, it's like people being genuine just because they want to be good or being nice. I think that's powerful and beautiful in itself. And I don't know, I think I even if we got money, like it didn't mean too much to me. It's just like knowing that we could build this community and trust each other, that is something bigger than itself, and that's bigger than money could put a price on.
Wow.
Yeah.
So in your scenario with the demo house and with couch surfing, rather than exchange money, people are exchanging a sense of community, a sense of belonging, sense of like, hey, you're not from here, but live like you are.
Yeah, I think, I think it's like we get, I think, yeah, like I said, like we reap so much on both sides, that money is only like one equation, but there's so many other things in life.
Right.
That are valuable.
Like those moments that make you stop and think to yourself, like, wow, I created this and we're sharing this together.
Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah.
Cool. And so what are your hopes for the future of couchsurfing now that the demo house is being demolitioned?
Yeah, at least for couchsurfing, at least, I think I want people to realize, or something bigger than couchsurfing is like, I want people to realize that the world is not as scary as society, media makes it. Mm-hmm. There's good people. I think in our society, people automatically bash the opposing side right away. It's easy to go behind a screen and attack each other. And it's safe. You feel safer that way. But I think real change happens when you meet with people, exchange ideas. You might agree, you might not agree, but at least get a common ground, have a conversation with them in person, understand your fellow colleague, your opponent, whatever. I think that's something I want people to take away. Like, I never have felt like I had to do that. But I think it's just, like, keep people coming from different backgrounds and getting together in a space. Like, that's what couchsurfing does. You're vulnerable. You're in someone's house, a stranger's house.
Yeah.
But, like, to do that, you have to put your guards down and be open. So I'm not advocating for everyone to go couchsurfing. I don't want anyone to feel unsafe. But I think couchsurfing taught me that. I think regarding the future of couchsurfing, I think through Demo House, what I learned is that a lot of people use couchsurfing. There's a lot of travel blogs now that are saying like, oh, how do you travel cheap? Hostels, Airbnb, and couchsurfing. So a lot of people want to use it as a free platform. And I think couchsurfing is much more than just a free bed to stay. It's about expanding your work, creating community, learning, sharing. So I hope that at least for people who are new to couchsurfing, they realize there's much more than just a free bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think couchsurfing really emphasizes some key traveler philosophies.
Yeah.
Where you necessarily have to be open-minded in order to stay with people that you don't know. And exactly. You have to not only be open-minded, but like curious and eager to have your perspective expanded upon. Because if you don't want that, the best way to stop that from happening is to stay where you are and like live the routine you're in.
Yeah.
But necessarily, if you're traveling, like you want to absorb new perspective. You want to see what else is out there. And you need to be open in order for all these different perspectives to find you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So now that we're wrapping up our talk about the demo house, was there any question I have not asked you that you would like to share?
I think this is a really cool like a slogan from Demo House. I just liked to share it with people, but like a takeaway from Demo House is like there's a quote, it's like aspire, inspire, expire. It's like we want people to aspire to be the best person that they can be. We want them to follow their dreams, travel the world, make a difference in the world. That's really cool. And I support people. I love passionate people. But as cool as it is to go for your dreams, I think it's cooler to make other dreams possible too. So I say like inspire people too along your way. like there's this cool quote I heard recently, like, life is about you and it's not about you. It could be both. Like, you could do your dreams while making other dreams happen.
Wow.
Yeah, and because I think we live in a world where people think either or, but we could make it all happen. Wow. And the last one is expire. Like I said, like, just like this house is going to end one day, but it doesn't have to end. Like, our legacy can still live. So life is about now, and it's not about now. It's like, we want to make the best world we can for ourselves and the people around us, but we got to realize there's a generation after us. So we don't have to compromise. We don't have to live our best life and screw the other one. And we don't need to save everything for the next one. Let's make it all happen. So I think aspire, inspire, expire. Yeah.
After you, someone else is going to come and enjoy this place from a faraway land. So why not preserve it, kind of mentality?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Last question. How can people find out more about the Demo House?
Yeah, well, we have a Facebook page. It's called Demo House. I believe Demo House PD. I should probably find out the information. But we do have an Instagram too, but we use Facebook more predominantly. Just search up Demo House Portland on Facebook. We'll pop up eventually.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Smooth. This is Radio Zine. My name is Dresden, and joined with me is Michael of the Demo House. Thanks for tuning in, everyone.
Yeah.